So we have a little time for just, I'm curious what, if there is something you want to say, name, some, you could question something, or, I don't know, I'm a little curious. Yes.
I was wondering, could you repeat the haiku that you shared with us this morning? Bad memory.
The one from Ryokan, yeah. About, yeah, in my paraphrasing or my rapid translation of it, last year, stupid monk, this year, all the same. And there is one maybe to... from Lippo, just the part again that I can remember that speaks to the kind of the selfless nature of experience, where I'll remember just one part of it, but it says, we sit, the mountain and I, until only the mountain remains. We sit, the mountain and I, until only the mountain remains. I think it starts with something like the last clouds have left the sky. As you want.
So I'm interested in convening a group of 20s and 30s who, for a sitting group, like a safe space for folks of color and First Nations people and queer folks and people of different sizes and abilities. And since this is an amazing gathering that's come to be steeped in the Dharma with you, I thought it was a good opportunity to express that interest and to say that I love people's names and email addresses in the notebook. If anyone has any questions, I'd love to talk to them. My name is Rebecca.
Okay. So Rebecca is saying that you're saying that you would like to create, to offer the opportunity for a sitting group or gathering of people in their 20s and 30s. Of maybe self-identifying as queer, a First Nation, or people of color, different size and abilities, creating a safe space to encounter because there's this powerful gathering, and it might be group good to create a group of an affinity group around these, and so and you're ready. You have your notebook and a pen, and you could take names of people and some coordinates, maybe email address or something. So Rebecca is sitting just here if you want to connect in this way. Yeah, great. Thank you. Continuez calmement à connaître le le changement. It's easier in French. It was what are the these four letters that I named in English, KC, KC, keep calmly knowing change, what they are in French. It is a really good image, no?
I was sitting outside watching everybody walking back and forth, and I just felt like we were all part of that same thread. It was just a lovely image. So thank you.
Thank you. Thanks. Could everybody hear?
Some people who were here yesterday, they might not know the imagery.
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah, it's a 2-day retreat, huh? So the imagery was about kind of non-self that I was talking about today and saying it's as if a person, a character in a tapestry, thought that they didn't belong to the tapestry, that the tapestry was the environment, that they were not intrinsically or completely part of the tapestry, and then you would start pulling on the thread, and then they would find out that, oh my God, like, I thought I was, you know, outstanding, but I'm really completely part of the mixed. Again, for me, it's what I see in this. It proves to me that what it speaks of is, wow, it's true that it needs a lot of careful attention, you know, because otherwise we're just going to see in the same old way, you know, and not question it. You know, for us, it's so kind of counterintuitive in a way, no? Because we even have, I don't know that it represents Descartes so well when we say, I think, therefore I am. I'm told that his mind was more complex than just that. But we think everything seems to prove that we exist in an intrinsic way, you know, like in the... So it needs a lot of attention to notice how things arise in out of conditions. And one of the example I like to bring, because you might recognize something in that, is that sometimes a classic case is a retreatant during the retreat that will come and describe, okay, so I was sitting, my mind got calm and steady, you know, and really paying attention just to whatever they'll notice, you know, the breath or sound, or the mind was really quiet, spacious, non-reactive, just paying attention. And then a cold wind came, and then the desire to cover oneself arose, and then I noticed that this was kind of selfless, when I always thought that intentions were me, you know, I totally saw how it was conditional. That the cold, the discomfort may arise the desire to grab the pashmina shawl. And suddenly, and there's a kind of freak out for a second, like, oh my God, I don't exist, you know? This happened naturally by itself, you know? And I really, on a superficial, habitual look, I would say like, yeah, I was sitting, was cold, decided to put my pashmina on. You know, but on a more attentive, you know, more calm way, suddenly, wow, that succession of events, you know, they led to one another. And, you know, and again, you hear this, you might think, yeah, but you could have decided not to, you know, who decided, you know. But, you know, if we pay attention to this, it's very interesting how, you know, like today, you thought you decided to do walking. But you don't usually do that kind of zombie back and forth walking. At like, I think it happened because of the conditions. Somebody was saying it was of high value. A lot can happen in slow walking back and forth. And suddenly you decide to do it, or something got decided to do it, you know. Another way that I like to think about this and consider this is that there's always something that is making decisions and running the show. Sometimes it's greed, sometimes it's vengeance, sometimes it's delusion, sometimes it's wisdom, sometimes it's care, compassion. I actually want to know, want to be awake to who's leading here, you know, what energy, what mind state is leading, because actions comes from mind states, you know. It's actually good to know which one is in charge, you know. And so it's not so personal or impersonal, but there is a discernment in Buddhist psychology that some mind states are helpful for everyone and some mind states are not helpful. And so they're not personal, but it's possible for the factor, the mental factor of wisdom, discernment, to discern. It's not you discerning, it's discernment discerning, you know? And we can invite more discernment in our life, more through attention, you know, paying attention, which is not personal. It's not easy to kind of get that. But if it's useful, it's worth exploring. Yeah.
I'm reminded when as I hear you speaking of the incredible power of cultural socialization that has taken me and I think so many of us here away from discernment, of wise discernment, away from wise speech. I mean, it just goes on and on, and it's so, as, you know, with continued meditation, continued learning, I have this heightened awareness of this incredible, overpowering place that I've come to that is not what I believe was the place I was going to be. And I'm so grateful for people like you who bring this kind of opportunity for us to wake up. It's such a gift. Thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure. And and it's good to think that we're part of a lineage, you know, in this tradition. Maybe there's 2,600 years of people not just studying and being kind of theoretical about this stuff, but trying, learning how to embody this, you know. And so it's very noble work that we're doing to try to embody understanding or embody compassion or embody honesty or clarity or, you know. And of course, you know, these 2,600 years, it's not been done perfectly. You know, there's a good 2,550 some years of patriarcha also in there, you know, that needs to be cleaned out, you know, or recognized, you know. But yeah, thank you. Yes, Udumbara, Udumbara. Yeah. Okay. So maybe we can finish with end the day with some loving kindness, compassion practice together.